Children, each one of us here has something that we all need to use. Some of us have, we would say, big and sharp ones, and we use them well. Others of us have duller ones. They're smaller, maybe not so good because we don't use them as much. But each one of us here has a memory, just like our computers. We have a memory. This morning, we're going to read a sermon, and you know one of the callings of a minister is to take a history like we read out of the book of Genesis, the life of Joseph, and to take that history and teach us spiritual things about the hidden life, about God's kingdom, about our souls. So I hope that God will bless His Word as we hear about how Joseph in the Old Testament was a type of Christ and his interaction with this butler that we read about. Again, the text verses 40:23, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." And then verse 9 of chapter 41, "Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day." The title of the sermon is, "Have You Forgotten Him?" And we have 3 points. The first point is the butler's faults. The second point is a reminder of his fault, or reminders of his fault. And then thirdly, commending the butler's remembrance. So 3 points. The butler's faults, reminders of his faults, commending the butler's remembrance. No single power or ability of man escaped damage at the fall. While the affections were polluted, the will was made perverse, the judgment was shifted from its proper balance. Also, the memory lost much of its power and more of its integrity. Every observing mind will have noticed that naturally, we have a greater power for remembering evil than good. Very plain is this in your children. If you mention anything good in their hearing, you had need to say it many times and very plainly before they are likely to remember it. But if one bad word shall casually meet their ear in the street, it will not be long before you have the pain of hearing them repeat it. Our memory is like theirs, only in proportion as it is developed in this peculiarity, it is more manifest. We have a most convenient warehouse for storing the merchandise of evil, but the priceless jewels of goodness are readily stolen from their case. We have a fireproof safe for worthless matters, and enclose the rarest of gems in cardboard boxes. Our memory, like a strainer, often allows the good wine to pass through, but retains the dregs. It holds the bad in an iron grasp, but it plays with good till it slips through our fingers. Our memories, like ourselves, have done things which they ought not to have done, and left undone the things which they ought to have done, and there is no health in them. Among other things, it is not always easy to recall our faults. We have special and particular reasons for not wishing to be too often reminded of them. Few men care to have their faults in the front room of the house, underground, in the darkest cellar, and if possible, with the door locked and the key lost. It is there we would like to conceal our faults from ourselves. If, however, the grace of God has entered into a man, he will pray that he will remember his faults. He will ask grace that if he should forget any excellences which he had once supposed he had, he may not forget his defects, his sins, his infirmities, his transgressions, but may have them constantly before him, that he may be humbled by them and led to seek pardon for them and help to overcome them. I do not say that the butler in this case had any work of grace in his heart, but I shall use him as an illustration and hope by using my watchman's rattle to wake up some of your sleepy memories, for there are thieves about and you are being robbed without knowing it. It will be a healthy result to us all if we shall be compelled to say at the end of this sermon, I do remember my faults this day. In the first place, this morning, using the butler as our illustration, we shall state his faults. Secondly, we shall consider what reminded him of his faults. And thirdly, we shall commend his remembrance. First, we shall call your attention to the butler's faults. For his faults are our faults. Only ours are on a larger scale. I do remember my faults this day. His particular fault was that he had forgotten Joseph, that having promised to remember him when it should be well with him, he had altogether overlooked the circumstances which occurred in prison, and had been enjoying himself and leaving his friend to pine in obscurity. Here then is the first fault the butler had. He had forgotten a friend. That is never a thing to be said to a man's praise. We ought to write the deeds of friendship as much as possible in marble, and that a man is unworthy of esteem who can readily forget favors received. Joseph had done all that he could to make the butler's time in prison comfortable. It was hard that as soon as the butler had been set free from prison, his friend Joseph had also been set free from his memory. Save us from men who can so easily forget. But you and I have a friend. We call him very dear. We are accustomed to speak of him in very pleasing terms. We declare that no others have such a friend as we have. We have made our boast that there is none other in comparison that deserves that name with whom we call him our best beloved. And yet, how many of us have forgotten him? Oh, we may know his name, his nature we may understand, his blessings we sometime rejoice in, but frequently his divine person, his blessed self, alas, is forgotten. How cold our love to him. This fault will not strike the carnal as being a great one, but in proportion as our hearts have been made spiritual and under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we shall feel it a great and grievous sin in any measure to have forgotten our best friend. The circumstances were these. The butler was in prison, and then his friend came to him and spoke comfortably to him. Do you remember when you were in prison? I can never forget when I was bound in fetters, far heavier and harder and more painful than fetters of iron. It was a dark dungeon, without a ray of light, There was no rest in it, neither night nor day. A certain fearful looking for judgment and a fiery indignation haunted that gloomy cell. I struggled to be free, but the more I struggled, the more hard did my bondage become. I was as one in deep mire, who by every struggle only sinks himself more hopelessly into it. Do you not remember? O believers, you have passed through the same experience. Your feet were in the stocks. You laid in the innermost prison, while the whip of the law frequently fell upon your backs, and the sentence of execution thundered in your ears, and you trembled lest you should be dragged forth to your doom. Do you not remember it, the wormwood and the gall? Joseph came to the butler and said, "Why look ye so sad today? In our case, we have forgotten Jesus, who came to us and inquired into our state. With what tender accents of sympathy did he address our hearts? He told us, and we could readily believe it, that he would not quench the smoking flax or break the bruised reed. We had not been accustomed to be addressed in this fashion, for the voice of Moses is far from musical, and his tones are very grating to the ear. But when Jesus soft, it was all soft and sweet. Poor sinner," he said, as though he pitied rather than accused and blamed. "He looked not upon us with an eye searching for iniquity, but with a heart which saw our calamity and which looked for the means to deliver us. Have you forgotten those times of brokenness of spirit, when the only comfort which you knew was the name of Jesus, when the only relief for the hunger and thirst which were in your spirits was a morsel or two of his sweet love, which he graciously cast to you to relieve you by the way? Do you remember your dream?" The butler had a dream. "Do you recall yours?" "It was more than a night dream. It was a daydream with a terrible interpretation. You dreamed of a vine too, and you were a cluster, and you dreamed of the tune when you should be of the time when you should be cast into the winepress and trodden beneath under the feet of almighty wrath until your blood should fill the cup of divine vengeance to the brim. Do you recall that dream, how it haunted you and seemed like some huge bird of prey with black wings and horrid cries fluttering over us, though about to tear you in pieces? I recollect when this day was night to me, and night was worse than night. Then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions," was the cry of Job. And such has been the lament of many, many a heart under the weight of sin. Oh, how guilt can thunder in our ears, how the word of God can grow terrible and stern. God is angry with you. God is angry with the wicked every day. It is appointed unto all men once to die, and after death, the judgment. In our alarms, we could see the rider on a pale horse and feel ourselves overtaken by him and struck down by the horse's hooves. How we saw ourselves being cast into the pit of hell and seemed to be falling, ever sinking from the angry glance of God, and still as dreadfully near to it as before. That was our dream, and the interpretation, the only interpretation which seemed to fit, was this: you will be banished from his presence into eternal misery. Beloved, do you not recall when Jesus came with the interpretation of a very different kind, just as Joseph did to the butler? He interpreted to the butler that Pharaoh would lift him up and put him in his place again. And so Jesus came to us and told us that we were condemned in ourselves and that we might not be condemned at the last, that we had a sentence of death in ourselves because God intended never to pass that sentence in the court of heaven and had instead thereof passed it in the court of conscience. He told us that God never kills us with His law in the heart without intending to make us alive. And that when He wounds, He heals. That when He strips, He means to clothe. We did not understand this, though we thought that all this terrible dealing within our heart was the prelude of everlasting judgment. But He showed us that as many as God loves, He rebukes and chastens, that it is the way with Him to break up the clods with the plowshare before He casts in the golden seed, and to dig out deep foundations before He piles polished stones one upon another to make a temple to His praise. I never shall forget when at the foot of the cross I saw the interpretation of all my inward griefs. When I looked up and saw the flowing of my Savior's precious blood and had the great riddle unriddled, my brethren, what a discovery was that when we learned the secret that we were to be saved, not by what we were or by what we were to be, but saved by what Christ had done for us. The simplicity of the cross is the grandest of all revelations. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Why is it as simple as the interpretation which Joseph gave to the dream? But in its simplicity lies a great part of its sweetness. How was it that I was such a fool as not to understand it before? For that every sinner who was truly a sinner and had no righteousness of his own, Jesus Christ is made to be his righteousness and salvation. And that every sinner who confesses with broken heart that he deserves the wrath of God may know that Jesus has suffered all God's wrath for him, and that therefore God is no longer angry with him, for all his anger has been spent upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How sweet it is to understand that all our soul's terrors and alarms are only meant to bring us to the cross. They are not intended to make us to look at ourselves, to search for comfort there, nor intended to set us on paving a way to heaven by our own exertions, but to lead us to Jesus. Oh, happy day when we see Jesus as the cluster crushed under the heart's blood flows, until the heart's blood flows, and can by faith go in unto the King Jesus with Jesus Christ's own precious blood and offer that, just as the butler stood before Pharaoh with his wine cup in his hand. I bear a cup not filled with my blood, but with his blood. The blood, not the blood from me as a cluster of the vine of the earth, but the blood of Jesus as a cluster of heaven's own vintage, pouring out its precious floods to make glad the heart of God and man. Here lies our fault, that we have forgotten all this. Not forgotten the fact, but forgotten to love Him who gave us that soul-comforting, heart-cheering interpretation. Beloved, when Jesus reveals Himself at first, our hearts were ready to leap out of our bodies for joy. Do you recall the time you thought you could sing always and never leave off? Nothing was too hard. No burden was too heavy for you then, for your soul was all on fire with love. But since then, what a sad declension. You forgot your Joseph. You forgot your friend who gave you this kind interpretation of your dream. Dear friends, there was something which ought to have made the butler remember Joseph. When I read, it was this, that there was another in prison at the same time with him. And what had become of him? The baker had been hanged. And if the butler had chosen to walk out, he might have seen the relics of the body of his poor, miserable companion, hung to be fed upon by vultures. That poor wretch had dreamed a dream too, but the interpretation had been very different. When some of us look back to the time when we were in sin with others and recall that although we are here, the living, to praise the Redeemer's name, some of our old companions are, we shudder to think of it, at this moment in hell. How shall we praise the electing grace which has made us to differ? It is a solemn thought that such differences should occur. Do you remember the lines from the old hymn? Why were we made to hear His voice and enter while there's room, when thousands made a wretched choice and rather starve than come? Some of you used to spend hour after hour in the public house. You could blaspheme God's name. And while those whom you once drank with are now drinking the cup of God's wrath, you, who were not one bit better than they, in some points even worse, are now saved by sovereign grace. Discriminating grace should always give a high tone to our gratitude. He hath not dealt with us. He has not dealt thus with every people. Praise ye the Lord, if you whom God has chosen and whom Christ has specially and effectually called by grace from among others, if you do not remember Him, what shall I say to you? Oh, dear friends, how it should humble you and bow you down in the dust, that after such remarkable, peculiar, distinguishing love as that of which you have been the subjects, you should still forget your dear friend and fail in point of duty where you ought to have been faithful to him. Think upon those no longer here. We have not, however, quite done with the case of the butler and Joseph. The request which Joseph made of the butler was a very natural one. He said, "Think of me when it is well with thee." He asked no hard, difficult, exacting favor, but simply, "Think of me and speak to Pharaoh. Thou wilt have his ear in moments when kings are most likely to be in good humor. Thou wilt wait upon him at his feasts. Then, when it is well with thee, and the time is come, put in a word for thy poor friend, who will be pining away in the damps of the dungeon." It was a very simple thing, and I will be bound to say the butler said to him, "Oh, my dear fellow, I will not only do that, but I do not know what I will not do for you. You shall be out of the prison within a week, and take good care that you have the fat of all the land of Egypt. And I will see that Potiphar and his wife shall be severely punished for all the wrong that they have done to you. But he did nothing of the kind. When the Savior asked of us, his servants, what the Savior asked of us, his servants, is most natural and most simple, and quite as much for our good as it is for his glory. Among other things, he has said to all of you who love him, this do in remembrance of me. He has asked you to gather round his table, to break bread with his servants, and feast with him. Some of you have never obeyed his command, and yet you say you love him, but you forget him. It was kind of him to institute that blessed ordinance to help your memory. It is doubly unkind of you that you not only forget him, but you are not willing to use the means to have that frail memory of yours refreshed. Moreover, of you who come to his table, he asks the favor to speak a good word for him whenever you have an opportunity. During the last week, have you spoken for Jesus? Has he asked you to spread abroad the savor of his name? Have you done so during the last month or not? He requests of you that as you are an heir with him and partaker of his kingdom, you will help him to spread it, not by word of mouth only, but by your gifts and by your labors. What have you done? Suppose that now the Lord Jesus Christ should occupy this pulpit instead of me and stand here and spread his hands and show you his wounds. Could you dare to look at him? Might not some of you have cheeks crimson as you would have to confess, "Ah, Master, I have forgotten thee." As to much practical service and honor of thy name, we have been quite negligent as the butler was concerning Joseph. Well, he is here in spirit, and he will soon be here in person. Servants of the Master, be faithful to your Master. But oh, all who lean upon his bosom have had familiar intercourse with him. I will not merely speak of faithfulness to you, but charge you by your love, by the lilies, and by the hinds of the field. See to it that you forget not your beloved, but day by day and hour by hour, feast him upon your wine and with your milk, with the choicest of your gifts, the richest products of your souls. Labor for him, live for him, and be ready to die for him who has done all for you. I have thus stated the butler's case, but I shall want to pause a minute or two over this head just to go into the reason of his fault. Why was it that he did not recollect Joseph? There is always a reason for everything, if we but try to find it out. We must have been swayed by one of three reasons. Perhaps the butler was naturally ungrateful. We do not know, but that may have been the case. He may have been a person who could receive unbounded favors without a due sense of obligation. I trust that that is not our case in the fullest and most unmitigated sense, but I am afraid we must all be guilty in a measure. Were there ever such ungrateful ones as the saints of God? We treat no other friend so badly as we treat our Lord. We love our parents. We feel gratitude towards friends who have assisted us in times of need. We are bound by very strong ties to certain persons who were very greatly in assistance to us in a pinch. But our dear Savior, better than our father and mother, fonder than our fondest friend, closer than the most loving spouse, how ill we use Him. I am afraid, brethren, we had better all of us say, it is in gratitude here. We are basely ungrateful to Him. But let us not confess it as a matter of course. Let us be ashamed to have such a thing to say. Let us feel that it lowers us more than anything else could lower us. That it proves how abject, how degrading must have been the fall of Adam. That even the love of Jesus shed abroad in our hearts, like ours in such a remarkable and plenteous manner, cannot cure them of the base and detestable vice of ingratitude. O thou dear one, can I look upon thy face, all covered with thy sweaty blood? Can I view thee again, all covered with the spit from the mouths of thine enemies? Can I see thee in thy thirst and anguish on the cross, and know that every pang was for me, and every woe for me, and not a groan or spasm of pain for thyself, but all for love of me, who was thine enemy? And can I after that forget thee? O my soul, loathe yourself that you should be ungrateful to Him. Perhaps, however, worldly care choked the memory. The chief butler had a great deal to do. He had many underservants, and having to wait in a palace was much care required. He who serves a ruler like the king of Egypt must be very particular in his service. It is very possible that the butler was so busy with his work and his gains and looking after his fellow servants, and that all, and that after all, he forgot poor Joseph. Is it not very possible that this may be the case with us? We forget the Lord Jesus, to whom we are bound by such ties, because our business is so large, our family so numerous, our cares so pressing, our bills and bonds so urgent, and even because perhaps our gains are so large. There is as much power to divide the heart from Christ in gain as there is in loss. In fact, the sharpest edge of the world's sword is prosperity. The back cut of adversity very seldom wounds as prosperity does. And yet, dear friends, what are all these cares that they should make us forget our Lord? I know not what to liken us. Unto what shall I compare our folly? We are like children in the marketplace who have their little plays and games, their pieces of broken crock and stick and stone, and these take up all their thoughts. And they forget their dear mother who is calling them. She has nourished these children, and day by day her heart cares for them, but they forget her. They cannot live without her. They must go into her for all their necessities. The very garments on their backs are her workmanship, and the food that keeps their bodies in life she must find. But they are too busy too busy with these little plays and toys and mere dirt and such things as children in the market play with, too busy to think of her. Oh, it is base that it should be so. But we are sadly worldly. I am afraid John Bunyan's picture of the man with the muckrake is not altogether unlike some of God's own children. Here we are with the rake groping over the dunghill, although above us stands the angel with a golden crown, calling us to look up from the dunghill and remember our lasting and enduring portion. But no, not we. That dunghill takes up too much of our time and thoughts, that the crown is forgotten. Do not misunderstand me. I would not have you to be negligent in business. Neither reason nor revelation require that. But oh, if you could recall the Savior in it all, if you could trade for His sake, work for Him, and in the ordinary deeds of life, did all as unto the Lord. Whether ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then truly, everything might remind you of Him, and both gain and loss, mercy and misery, might only drive you nearer to His blessed bosom. I am half ashamed to have to say one more thing. I am afraid that the butler forgot Joseph out of pride, because he had grown to be such a great man, and Joseph was in prison. He was butler to the king. Now, when he was in prison, Joseph was his equal, but in some sense his superior, for he waited on him. But now, my lord the butler has great interest at court, and he wears splendid garments, and he is very great amongst his fellow servants. Joseph smells of the dungeon. He is a jailbird, and quite beneath him. He knows not what Joseph is to be, that all the glories of the land of Egypt are to be at Joseph's foot, but he is ashamed of Joseph. I do not suppose this operates with many of you, but I have known it with some professed believers. When they were little in Israel, when they first professed to have found peace, oh, how they acknowledged Jesus. But they got on in the world and prospered, and then they could not worship among those poor people who were good enough for them once. Now they drive to a more fashionable place of worship, where the Lord Jesus is seldom heard of. They feel themselves bound to get into a higher class of society, as they call it, and the poor, despised cause of Jesus is beneath them, forgetting, as they foolishly do, that the day will come when Christ's cause shall be uppermost, when the world shall go down, and the faithful followers of the Lord Jesus shall be peers and princes even in this world, and reign with Him, and be king, and be He being King of kings and Lord of lords, and they sitting upon His throne and sharing in His royal dignity. I hope none of you have forgotten Christ because of that. I do not know, though I have my fears of some of you. I do not know this, that many a working man thinks more of Christ while he is so than he does when he rises above his fellows. We have heard of one who used to give much when he was poor, but when he grew rich, he gave less. And he said, "When I had a penny purse, I had a $100 heart, and I wished I could do more for Christ. But now I have a $100 purse, and I find I only have a penny heart, and I am for stinting and doing less. Oh, let it not be so. Shall it be that the more He gives, the less we give, and the more He shows love, the less we show love? God forbid that we should do this, but by every tie of gratitude, let us serve Him more and more each day. There was a very great heinousness in this forgetfulness on the part of the butler, and he ought to have felt it. Perhaps the way for us to see our own fault is this. Suppose the butler had put himself in Joseph's place and said, "Now I wonder what Joseph thinks of my conduct. Suppose I were Joseph in prison, and I had done this favor to someone else. How should I feel with regard to his forgetfulness?" My dear friends, can you suppose yourself in Jesus Christ's place? Suppose it is possible that you could have died for another, and by your death could have saved him and made him partaker of everlasting joys. What would you think of him if he treated you as you treat Jesus? Would you say, "I am ashamed of him. I regret that I ever spent so much love on such a thankless person"? Judge then, judge your own case. Again, he might have judged of the heinousness of his forgetfulness by considering his conduct as he would have considered it at the first. Suppose a prophet had told you, when you were first converted, that you would live as you have done. Could you have believed it? Would you have said, "Never. If the Lord Jesus Christ does but take my burden off my back and set me free, there is nothing which I will not do for Him. I will be none of your cold, dead professors, not I." But have you been, dear friends? Have you been just as lukewarm as the others? Judge of your sin as you would have judged of it at the first. Again, will you please to judge of it as you judge other people? What think you of others with cold hearts? What think you of others that are chilly professors, those whose lives are lukewarm and whose love has no fervency? Judge yourselves by the same judgment. Put your spirit in the same scale and be humbled. Yea, let every one of us lay his mouth in the dust as we confess this day that we are verily guilty concerning the Lord Jesus. Let us all remember our faults this day. For our second point, we will hear reminders of his fault, or what circumstances brought the fault to the butler's mind. Those circumstances are the same circumstances which surround us this morning. First, he met with a person in the same condition as that in which he once was. King Pharaoh had dreamed a dream and wished for an interpretation. Joseph could interpret, and the butler remembered his fault. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there are those in the world who are in the same state of you, who are in the same state of mind as you once were. They once loved sin and hated God, and were strangers and aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. But in some of them, there has been the mysterious working of the Holy Spirit, and they have dreamed a dream. They are awakened, although not yet enlightened. Salvation is a riddle to them at present, and they want interpretation. Do you not remember how the gospel was blessed to you? Do you not desire to send it to others? If you cannot preach yourself, will you not help me in my life work of training others to preach Jesus? If I could bring before you this morning 20 or 40 anxious persons up from the country villages and remote parts of our lands, would you say, oh, let me tell them about the Savior, or let me help to send someone to them who will do so? That is just the effect I want to produce without using the means. I want to make you remember your Lord Jesus, practically remember Him, by reminding you that there are persons who are now seeking Him, who are now panting after Him, who have not heard the gospel and longing for some herald of peace to come to them and proclaim the good news. By the love of souls, aid me in my great anxiety to supply the needs of the age with the ministry called of God to preach His truth. The next thing that recalled the butler's thought was this, that he saw many means had been used to interpret Pharaoh's dream, but they had all failed. We read that Pharaoh sent for his wise men, but they could not interpret his dream. You are in a like case. There are thousands who try to minister to spiritual necessities. Above all, we have popery in its double form, Romish and Anglican, doing its best to interpret the dream of the human heart. You know what a sad mess it makes of it. It gives a stone instead of bread, brings to poor, needy, guilty men anything but the Savior he needs. Now, as you hear these foolish, wise men all blundering over the dream, do not you think of Joseph, who could interpret it? And as you hear these men holding up baptismal regeneration and sacramental salvation, does not your tongue long to say, O fools, O generation of simpletons, it is Christ Jesus who is the great interpreter. He alone can supply human necessities. Do you not feel a want? If you cannot go and preach yourselves, help others to do so. Will you recall Jesus Christ as you recall how many are perverting the gospel and preaching anything rather than the merits of the cross? Pray, remember you, your Lord today, and your faults concerning Him. But let your remembrance lead you to repentance in His cause. Then again, if the butler could have known it, he had other motives for remembering Joseph. It was through Joseph that the whole land of Egypt was blessed. Joseph comes out of prison and interprets the dream which God had given to the head of the state, and that interpretation preserved all of Egypt, yea, and many other nations, during the 7 years of dearth. Only Joseph could do it. Oh, brethren, you know that it is only Jesus who is the balm of Gilead for the wounds of this poor dying world. You know that there is nothing which can bless our land and all other lands like the cross of Jesus Christ. Have you forgotten practically our Savior? Have you suffered the precious truth of God to be like Joseph, hidden in the prison, when you might have helped to bring it out into open court, that others might hear and know the sound which has made your heart glad? Then, as you recall the country of your love, as you recall other lands, which in proportion are dear to you, will you not think of Jesus today and do something for the promotion of His cause? once more, surely the butler would have remembered Joseph had he known to what an exaltation Joseph would be brought. Under God, it was all through the butler saying, I remember Joseph. That Joseph came out of the prison and stood before Pharaoh, that he rode in the second chariot, that the heralds cried before him, bow the knee, and that Joseph, the poor prisoner, had become governor over the land of Egypt. Christian, would you like to lift up the name of Jesus from obscurity into the throne of the human heart? At this present moment, throughout this world, Jesus Christ is still despised and rejected of men. Still, He is a root out of a dry ground to the mass of mankind. Think of the splendor which yet will surround our Lord Jesus. He shall come, beloved. He shall come in the chariots of salvation. The day draws nigh when all things shall be put under Him. Kings shall yield their crowns to His superior sway, and whole sheaves of scepters plucked from tyrants' hands shall be gathered beneath His arm. Do you recall the line from the old hymn? Look ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now. From the fight returned victorious, every knee to Him shall bow. You, by testifying of Him, are promoting the extension of His kingdom and doing the best that in you lies to gather together the scattered who are to be the jewels of His crown. Surely, the thought of His exaltation fires you with delight, and the prospect of magnifying Him, of setting Him on high and helping to adorn His head, or even to straw the path beneath His feet, must fill your soul with a celestial love. Do not forget Him then, but let the fact that you are in this position today, that you can glorify Jesus, that you can bless the world, let this encourage you to remember your faults this day. For our third point, I have some few things to say by way of commendation of the butler's remembrance. It is a pity that he forgot Joseph, but it is a blessing that he did not always forget him. It is a sad thing that you and I should have done so little. It is a mercy that there is time left for us to do more. I like the butler's remembrance, first of all, because it was very humbling to him. He had to say it to Pharaoh. Pharaoh was wroth and put his servant in ward. That was not a very pleasant thing for the butler to say to his king. My lord, you were angry with me and put me in prison. But though it was a humbling thing, it was very necessary that he should say it and to be reminded of it. Let us go before God with a confession. Lord, I was base and vile as any. Thy cross saved me. I was an heir of wrath even as others. Jesus did all this for me. Blessed be His name. And I humble myself to think that I should so treacherously have forgotten Him who was so kind. I commend His remembrance for another thing, namely, that it was so personal. I do remember my faults this day. What capital memories we have for treasuring up other people's faults. For once, let us keep to ourselves. Let the confession begin with the minister. I do remember my faults this day. This is not the place for me to tell you of them, though I dare to say you see them without any of my telling, but I do remember. My brethren in office, the deacons and elders, I have no charge against them, but I have no doubt they can all say, I do remember my faults this day. You, members of this church, some old and gray, some young beginners, many of you parents and in middle life, I suppose there is not one of you but what might say, yes, I do remember my faults this day. Let it go round. Do not let there be an exception to the case. Let each Christian, instead of thinking about others, make it a personal matter. I do remember my faults this day. I could wish that the unconverted here would join with us. Your fault, the great fault with you, is that you do not believe in Jesus Christ, that you do not trust Him with your souls, but are still strangers to Him. It is a good sign of true repentance when it is a personal repentance. Every man must mourn apart, every woman apart, the husband apart and the wife apart, the brother apart and the sister apart. I do remember my faults this day. The best part of it, perhaps, was the practical nature of the confession. The moment he remembered his fault, he redressed it as far as he could. He could not make up to his poor friend for the days he had been lying in prison, but he spoke to Pharaoh directly. That action was the means of bringing Joseph out. Now, dear friends, if you recall your fault of the Lord Jesus, may you have grace not to fall into it again. If you have not spoken for Him, speak today. If you have not given to His cause, give now. If you have not devoted yourselves as you ought to have done to the promotion of His kingdom, do it now. O sinner, if you have not believed in Christ, may God the Holy Spirit lead you to believe now. It is of no use remembering a debt if you do not pay it. It is of no avail to recall a fault if you do not repent of it. You have had a zealous spirit. You have it still, but you want still more of it. May God send it to you. We are helping to send the gospel throughout all this country and to different abroad as well. Do not hold back when God is blessing. Your part's help is still required. Do not be slow to render it. Do come forward with us and help us to magnify the Savior's name till all the ends of the earth shall know it and all nations shall call Him blessed. May the Lord bless these words for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we pray, just a word from the Scripture as a reminder. As we have heard much exhortation to respond to our faults and the fact that we have seen perhaps our faults. In John 14:26, we read, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with Me from the beginning." I'm sorry, I read verse 14:26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you."
Let us remember that Christ brings and gives a full salvation. Let us not turn to the ways of the flesh to remember Him and to redress our faults, but to find in Him all that we need to honor and magnify His name. Let's pray. O Lord God, we thank Thee that Thou hast sent Thy Word. We pray, even as we have heard and read, that Thou will make all things well. Make us to be dependent upon Thee, Lord. Thou knowest our forgetful, independent hearts, so prone to wander. Lord, also even as we have heard Thy Word being read, our minds and our thoughts have wandered. Our hearts have been cold and distant by nature. Don't let us go our own way. Stir us up, O Holy Spirit. Bring to remembrance these things. Grant us to digest them, to consider them, to ponder them this afternoon, lest we again forget. O Lord, we surely will, if we go in our own strength. But may Thy work in our hearts bring the newness of Christ to us again, or for the first time, that we could not help but remember Thee and to seek to speak to whosoever we may of Thee and Thy grace for the worst one. Lord, help us. Be with us further in this day and hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.